You're listening to the Wheel of Time TV podcast with Jay Florence.
Greetings, dark friends. Welcome to Ranland Episode 6. Today we're going to kick things off talking about the latest production news from Wheel of Time on Prime. It's also our 2-month anniversary at Ranland, so we're going to take a look back and re-examine our series predictions. So, starting off with production news, I wanted to take a moment to acknowledge the 12th anniversary of the passing of Robert Jordan, which coincided with the start of principal photography on Amazon's Wheel of Time show. I thought, as our way of commemorating that, we could read the eulogy that Brandon Sanderson wrote when Robert Jordan passed. This is a pretty well-known story, but Harriet read Brandon Sanderson's eulogy, and she had been looking for someone to take up the series and finish RJ's work, and that's how she first came across Brandon Sanderson.
Because so he wrote the eulogy?
Yes.
He wrote the eulogy
He wrote a eulogy.
Thank you. Like an open letter.
A fan letter.
It was called Goodbye, Mr. Jordan.
Ugh.
And so she asked the publisher, Tor, to send her some of his books, and she read, and she thought, he's the one to finish it. So, Colin, if you would.
Yeah, so this is some excerpts from that eulogy. My career, like many young fantasy authors, has been deeply influenced by Robert Jordan, and I find his passing to be a tragedy for the entire community. I still remember the first time I saw The Eye of the World on bookshelves. I was at my local comic store, which was the place where I bought my fantasy books. I went to buy the next book in the Guardians of the Flame series, and while browsing the new paperback shelf, I saw this huge fantasy novel there. It was so big that it scared me, and I didn't buy it. This is particularly ironic for me, for I now regularly publish books of 250,000 words or so. Still, I can almost feel that moment, standing and holding the book in my hands, listening to someone play an antiquated upright of Kaddish in the background. I still think I is one of the greatest fantasy books ever written. It signifies an era, the culmination of the epic quest genre, which had been brewing since Tolkien initiated it in the 60s. The Wheel of Time dominated my reading during the 90s, influencing heavily my first few attempts at my own fantasy novels. I think it did that to pretty much all of us. Even many of the most literarily snobbish of the fantasy readers were youths when I was and read Eye of the World when I did. Now, he's gone. And yet, I sit here thinking that something has changed. Something is missing. Some hated you, Mr. Jordan, claimed you represented all that is terrible about popular fantasy. Others revered you as the only one who got it right. Personally, I simply feel indebted to you. You showed me what it was to have vision and scope in a fantasy series. You showed me what could be done. I still believe that without your success, many younger authors like myself would never have had the chance at publishing their own dreams. You go quietly, but leave us trembling. Brandon Sanderson.
It's so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good.
The last line, the sign-off, you go quietly, but leave us trembling, is so good. I love Brandon Sanderson, too. He did a good job finishing it, which Stomp will discover someday. So, Rafe Judkins, our showrunner for the Wheel of Time series, had his own tribute, which he shared on the first day of filming.
Hey, everyone. Today is our first day of principal photography on the Wheel of Time television series. And for all of us, it's a little bit emotional because it is also quite coincidentally the 12th anniversary of the author Robert Jordan's passing. So as much as I'm excited about this new endeavor that we're all embarking on, I am also quite humbled and honored to remember the man who began all of this, Tyshar Rigney.
Tyshar Rigney.
Tyshar Rigney.
I thought it was really nice that the series is paying so much respect to Robert Jordan, you know, because they don't have to. And they're also doing like a really great job of keeping fans in the loop and sharing little tidbits. So that's kind of what I want to talk about today, because a lot of news came out with Wheel of Time Wednesday. Preceding this week's Wheel of Time Wednesday, Rafe shared this image of a sheep
Love it. Mm-hmm. I love this image.
I thought you'd be very excited.
I was incredibly excited.
I want to know what kind of wool comes from that sheep.
I mean, I don't think this is a sheep for shearing necessarily. It could be a milk sheep or a meat sheep or a leather sheep, really.
Oh, not a meat sheep.
A meat sheep.
How is a meat sheep it's better such than a leather sheep?
I mean, this sheep really looks like a very, because of the horns. I mean, it has two
He's
sets of horns.
It's got Baphomet horns.
Yeah, it's a Baphomet sheep.
I mean, this is like a cross between like an ibex and like a goat.
It's a Jacob sheep.
What'd you call me?
Isn't that a type of sheep? It's like hybridin, hybridian?
Oh, yeah.
Hybridian?
I forgot.
It's Baphomet.
But anyway, Rafe posted a picture of the sheep on Twitter, and he said, I always try to remember and remind myself how lucky I am that I get to walk through Amon's field with Moraine and Lan, and Egwene and Trollocs and sheep. Like this one, see? Only lame set photos from me, but someday you'll see the dream I'm living right now.
So is the sheep going to be on set?
Yeah, that's a sheep from Amon's field. So that's the sheep herd
and
sheep.
Are they filming in Prague?
I don't know if they might be filming partially in Prague, but they were in Slovenia.
I feel like they probably filmed some scenes in Prague.
Okay.
And they probably have some stages and things because Prague is equipped with a lot of film studios and stuff that you can work with.
But it's a great city. It's Prague, little known fact, maybe, I don't know. Maybe, maybe listeners know it. But it was one of the few of like greatly architected cities that weren't destroyed in any war. So if they want to look for any sort of authentic architecture to add to the show, it's a great place to shoot. So I imagine they are shooting within Prague.
I don't know if I made this up or if I heard this somewhere, but is Tar Valon going to be filmed in Croatia?
We don't know that yet.
Oh, we don't know that. Oh, okay.
They definitely haven't announced that they're even shooting Tar Valon because that would imply we don't see Tar Valon ever in Book One, Eye of the World.
That's true.
And they've been very hush-hush about how much is in
We do know from the little, I don't know if I'm jumping the gun here, about the Wheel of Time Wednesday clip.
Yes, you're not jumping the gun. I thought we'd take a look at it. We have the table read, which a lot of news came out of and a lot of rumors.
Yeah.
Which is really exciting.
Is this the music?
I doubt it. I really hope not.
It's the music. Oh, not from the series.
Yeah.
No, this is stock music.
So, The Wheel of Time, Season 1, Episode 1.
You go back, you give them a way to follow us. I can't allow that. Crossing that river would be foolish, and you are not a fool.
Come on, do you really think she's any better than what's chasing us?
Of course I do.
Till then, though, the lady does shoot fireballs, so let's try and stay on her good side.
And off this, we smash to black to the end of the episode.
Smash to black. They don't fade to black, they smash to black.
It's a dramatic
ending.
You got like a really like wise sounding British dude to run that table read.
Right?
He sounds really legit.
Yeah, right?
Just because of the accent. Yeah. What were your guys' initial reactions when you saw that?
It was exciting.
Yeah.
It was exciting. Yeah. It was like, it was cool. Okay, cool. This is really, it was in some ways it felt like more of a confirmation, I feel, than like necessarily just casting news. I don't know. I mean, obviously that's happening, but like to see them all together around a table reading the script felt really good.
Yeah, I feel like it made me really optimistic to see them actually read some of
and
the
like
script.
Interact with each other.
Yeah, yeah. I think they definitely have chemistry. One thing that was interesting, Lauren and I were just at SpoilerCon, and Kate Redding, who's one of the narrators for the audiobooks, did a reading for us where she read Moraine telling the tale of Menetherin. And she had so much power in her voice, and she's also British. So her tonality, it was so moving and stirring. And then to hear Rosamund Pike just speak as Moraine, it was actually very similar. Like they sounded similar, so it struck the same chord with me where I'm like, oh my God, yes, she's going to be Moraine, and it's going to be great.
Yeah.
Like a deep, wise, blue Aes Sedai voice.
Yeah, also, what did you guys think of Barney, who's playing Matt?
I mean, you only get that one snippet, but it sounded good.
Yeah, did you understand what he was saying the first time you heard it?
I did, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Did you guys?
I see everything with subtitles always. Like, I don't live without subtitles in my life, so I saw the subtitles.
Oh, yeah. Andrew watches things with subtitle closed captions, too.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited about it. It's hard to draw too many conclusions because it was just like a minute long clip.
Yeah, it's
I mean,
tiny.
there's a lot of information in there, but yeah, I felt happy with everything I saw. Yeah,
but you don't think the music they played is the music that's going to be?
No, that is like okay.
That is
$99 stock music track. Got it. That is not the set. That's like do-do-do music.
I was like, it's very like traveling troubadours, like we're going out, like tinker music.
Yeah.
Well, this might be too critical, but one thing I was thinking about after watching that is like, it's a very international cast, but they all have, like many of them have very different accents. And it's, to me, it's a little bit weird that people from the same small village would have such different accents. So I wonder, are they going to try to like do the same accent, or are they just going to not worry about it?
Do you feel like they had different accents in this?
Barney, the guy who plays Matt, has a pretty thick, distinct accent. The guy who plays Rand has a different accent. It's not a big deal. It's just, I wonder if they're going to try to do, like if you ever watch the show Vikings, for instance, they've got all different people, but they're doing this like sort of made up accent, so they all sound the same.
That's what they did on Game of Thrones too. Maddie Madden is Australian, but I think she was doing more of a British accent.
But Zoe is, she's a Kiwi.
Yeah, Zoe's Kiwi? Yeah. Oh, that's the worst accent. But we didn't hear her talk.
I think it'll be fine. I think that a show, especially a show with this scope and this budget, we'll have vocal coaches.
Oh, yeah.
And it's their job to make sure that the actors are staying within the range of the accent that they're prescribing.
Mm-hmm.
Just the same way you have people who make sure that, like, from scene to scene, as they do go from day to day, like, everything is the same.
Okay, continuity.
The house looks the same, you know? The house looks the same. Everything is set up the same. There's continuity.
Yeah, like, I mean, I think the Borderlander should have a different accent than Moraine, but I just want the Eamon's Fielders to sound the same for consistency.
I feel like it's too early to worry about that stuff. Personally.
No, I'm worried about it. I'm worried.
I think that from what I heard, Egwene was not doing an Australian accent, so I trust that they'll have kind of a middle ground. I think that Barney Harris was the outlier because he was laying it on kind of thick in his sardonic tone of voice, but it was hot, and I agree that he's going to get all the ladies. I think he's like as Matt.
Yeah, I mean, I guess his accent is pretty thick.
It's sexy.
Sure.
He's from London, so yeah. I didn't think that was a London accent, but I guess
well, there's maybe different it is. Areas of London have different
That's true. That's
like
true.
New York heroes.
So Zoe, Marcus, and Madeline were posting on Instagram before the video was released. Marcus said, "And so it begins," and then Maddie said, "It's happening." But Zoe said, "I was 99% sure I was going to vomit that day.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't." Which I thought was really cute.
Yeah, it's sweet. That's good.
Yeah. So coming out of this video, of course, fans were obsessing and scrubbing through to look at all the unfamiliar faces, people who haven't been announced, because obviously some of them are actors. And one key person supposedly was identified.
Robert De Niro?
Danny DeVito, Sam Bowie,
both Kevins,
Bobby and Danny.
Wait, did you want Danny DeVito as Mandarb? Is that what the
no,
casting was?
Mordeth.
Mordeth, yeah.
I just want Mandarb to wear a wig.
Not gonna happen. No, it was actually Michael McAlton or Mike Alton.
Mm-hmm.
He is this guy. I'll post the picture online. But many of you know him as Roose Bolton from Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
He was also in The Fall with Gillian Anderson.
Oh, I loved that show.
The Foreigner with Jackie Chan, which I think came out this year or last year. And HBO's Chernobyl, which I've been meaning to watch. I
that
heard
was just
really good
year.
Things.
Got a lot,
yeah.
Got a lot of praise.
It got a lot of praise.
Yeah, it did.
But he is a really talented actor.
Do you think he's Tam?
I'm going to show you guys a clip, and I'll post this on the website. I might not edit this in, but just because I know you guys haven't seen Game of Thrones.
Better enough food to feed our own.
We're not executing prisoners, Lord Bolton.
Of course, Your Grace. The officers will be useful. Some of them may be privy to Tywin Lannister's plans.
I doubt it.
Well, we learn soon enough. In my family, we say a naked man has few secrets, a flayed man none.
My father outlawed flaying in the north.
We're not in the north.
We're not torturing them.
The high road's very pretty, but you'll have a hard time marching your army down it.
He plays a bad guy.
Yeah.
Usually.
Roose Bolton's not a good person.
Oh, do you think he's like Padden Fane?
I don't know.
He could. These actors could be anyone. Like, we can speculate for fun, but I feel like it's.
We have to speculate, though. We know that that table reading was specifically for episodes 1 and 2.
Yeah. And we know. I mean, okay, so you're saying that, like, he is such a big name actor that he has to be a recurring character of some sort.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Or a main person in Eamon's field. So I felt like he was either Tam or maybe Pat and Fane.
Or Tom.
Tom. He's not very charming like that. Yeah, he plays generally a really serious guy.
That's true.
Why haven't they announced Tom yet if they've begun filming? Is Tom not actually in the first season?
We have no idea.
That's a,
yeah, a lot of people
big
feel
point
that
of contention right now.
Yeah.
Some people have come out and said Tom's definitely in it, but most likely he's a day player and not going to be in it from the beginning in Eamon's Fields.
Yeah.
How could they not have Tom? He's like, to me, he's one of the party for the whole first book, pretty much. You know?
Yeah,
he is, but you could finagle it in such a way whereas he joins them later. It's possible to do that. I mean, I don't think anyone is rooting for no Tom, you know?
We all want Tom.
We all want Tom in there, for sure.
Where's Tom?
Do you think he could be Tam?
This gentleman?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. See, this is that the problem with that. Thought. This is the problem. An actor, like, that's why I asked that question specifically about the caliber of his name in the acting world, because if he is a recurring character and he's playing someone in Eamon's Field, we're leaving Eamon's Field immediately. So he's just waiting in the wings until 3 seasons from now. I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I think that's a hard sell, I think.
Pat and Fane?
Maybe. I don't know.
That would be hard.
Maybe. I think he could be, I guess it was episode 2, so he wouldn't be that. I don't know.
No.
I was going to say Dane Bornhold. Or not Dane, but...
Jeff from Bornhold,
yes.
Oh. Actually, that is what some people said. And
I can
there's
see
no
that.
Reason... I mean, we don't know between episodes 1 and 2 if they're showing other parts of the world. They could easily...
That's true.
Dane is in Bearlawn. Jeffrem is not in
Bearlawn. He's not, right.
Yep.
I could see him being Jeffrem Bornhold.
Or, yeah, if he's playing Jeffrem Bornhold, maybe they're just showing him a glimpse and then they get to it later when he captures Baron.
I would really like to see him in that role, actually.
Yeah, he'd be a good
I mean,
Jeffrem.
I didn't watch Game of Thrones, but he looks like he'd be a really...
I think he'd be really good, Jeffrem.
Yeah.
He'd be really good.
To back up for a minute, the way fans found him or are speculating that it's him is that they saw his profile in the video. They said, that's either Charles Dance or Mike Holton. And they, you know, I was Googling also to see the glasses, does he have those glasses? But then someone saw that he had a bracelet on and they found videos of him with a bracelet on.
Wow.
And then the Dusty Wheel went a step further and tried to find profile pictures of Michael overlaying it. So people feel pretty confident that this is a positive identification.
Yeah.
I wanted to share a fan tweet that was really nice response to this video coming out on Sedai. On Twitter said, having major emotion because I feel so profoundly included in a world that I love, but that pretty much ignores me. Not just forced in to check diversity boxes either, a plausible interpretation of this world. I thought that was nice. There's been a lot of articles saying they're doing diversity right, and one of the first shows or fantasy shows to do it, so that was cool.
That was a good tweet.
Cool
I saw that. That was good.
Yeah.
Solid.
There were some other unidentified faces in the video, particularly on the right-hand side of the table sitting next to Rand. There were 2 women and a man. We'll post this online also. There was speculation on Twitter, but there's 1 woman who looks definitely like she could be Egwene's mother.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another man of color who people speculated could be a lot of different people. Mayor Alvear. Pat on Fane or Bail Damon. I don't know why Bail Damon would be
right of like all of the people.
Maybe he just
Okay.
I might be wrong, but table reads. So you do have the actors reading the main parts, but don't they sometimes just like have crew and stuff read
absolutely.
Parts?
Yeah,
like, these aren't necessarily actors on the show.
Right. I feel like the woman in the middle might not be, but I feel like the man and the woman are. He just looks so charismatic. Maybe
he does
not,
look
but he looks like an actor to
me. Great smile.
Yeah. So I could see him being Mayor Alvear. I just want to say, though, skinny innkeeper.
Oh.
Dark friend. You can't have a skinny innkeeper. You better start eating some freaking honey cakes. They're both skinny.
It's funny.
Maybe when I grow up, I'm going to be an innkeeper because then I don't have to be skinny.
I'll be an innkeeper's wife. I'll be your wife.
Perfecto.
Next to that gentleman is a pasty white-haired fellow who people said, could that be Tom?
That guy's too old to be Tom.
Yeah, he doesn't look like a Tom. Yeah, he looks like a production person.
It's hard
person.
To really see anything. Like, his head's down.
Yeah,
you
actually
like,
can't tell.
Maybe no, you can't tell. But he does look like a production person. Then there was the little snafu, Nana Ajay Ampadu, who is a British actress. Her agency on Twitter, rather, posted announcing that she had joined the cast of The Wheel of Time.
Ooh.
Mind you, there have been no updates on IMDb or announcements from Amazon on Prime. The tweet was later deleted. So, but you can see her in the video, and I watched some videos with her, and she looks really great. She has a lovely accent. She previously studied law. Her family is descended from Ghana. She's Ghanaian, and I don't know who she could be, but she's probably from Amon's Field. Her agency later sent another tweet announcing that she's signed on to some theater production.
Yeah, she's in a play.
Right. And people were like, well, she couldn't be in both, but she could totally be in both, especially
Absolutely.
If she's in Amon's Field and only in episode one.
I want to know if he's playing the Trollocs. That's what I want to see.
Michael Alton.
Trollocs.
Yeah.
He's
number
Narg.
One.
He's Narg.
He's playing Narg, yeah.
Okay, last two unidentified. Someone speculated that another gentleman could be Loghain and another woman could be Elaine Min. I don't think it is. I think that she is part of the production team. She just doesn't look like an actress to me.
Sure. It's interesting. I mean, like,
I don't know.
Is there something to be said for being seated at the table and being seated back from the table, right?
Okay. That's true.
What? Theoretically, like,
she could be just like an Amon's Fielder, though. I don't think she's Min or Elaine.
Sure.
Yeah. Like, for instance, Danny DeVito and Kevin Bacon were all sitting back from
the because they're second build, so yeah.
That's true.
How old is Loghain supposed to be?
He's pretty young. Like,
because this man looks.
Yeah.
Older?
Too old to be Loghain for me.
I don't know if they're going to say. Do they say Loghain's age? Don't they just say That's he's kind of handsome like, and he has long hair? I don't remember them.
I mean, I wouldn't have a problem with him being Loghain.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not
yeah.
like old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm having some issues.
So another piece of leaked information, and I wonder if this really came from an innocent bystander, but someone said, went hiking in Slovenia and ran into the Wheel of Time production, and they posted a photo overlooking this river.
That is not a leak.
I think it has to be someone from the crew. Who
For
just,
sure.
Like, but I don't know. No, they have a real profile online, so it must have just been someone.
I mean, it's completely plausible that someone could be on a hike. And
I want to see those costumes. Zoom in.
Right. So if you zoomed in on the photo, and some people did because they thought they saw a Trolloc, although I think it's either a sheep or someone said it's a camera. You can't see.
I don't
see.
Think. I saw that
I can't,
too. And
you
I was
can't
like,
see anything.
I was like, is that a Trolloc? And I was like, no, I don't think that's a Trolloc.
It's a tree stump. No one knows.
Yeah.
If you zoom in, though, you can see basically village people in kind of one woman's wearing a red wool skirt with a yellow sort of tunic underneath, kind of like muted primary colors. So, yeah, it looks...
Maybe like, then there's like this bit here, which is like someone's like, oh, that could be like
maybe that's just
the CG green screen cloak.
The Lady Lance cloak.
Yes.
So when I first saw it from afar, I thought, oh, that must be the Terran. But then seeing villagers, I feel that it must be the Wine Spring. I just didn't picture the Wine Spring
as mountainous.
Yes.
Yes.
But then Yosha posted a photo. And I could see it was more level with the river, so I could see them, you know, being around the Wine Spring for some reason. I don't know. Maybe on winter night, Trolloc
Maybe,
attack?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. We asked some Twitter friends to help us out and spread rumors from the Wheel of Time on Prime set. I picked some choice ones. Loghain said, Narg has a protracted monologue of self-reflection, overcoming his fear of the Murdral, and saves Rand from the rest of the Trollocs in an epic Bollywood-style dance-off.
Ooh!
He loses to the Murdral and goes to flee the Two Rivers with the Edmondsfield Five, but at Daniel Henney kills him. It's so sad. I like that one. Someone said, I heard that they were changing it, so Rand dies in the second episode, and it turns into a revenge mission.
Nice.
I don't hate that.
Good job, Rafe. Dane Bordhald said, at Yosha Sterdowski was late to set for first day of filming. Yup, he forgot to update his calendar.
Oh!
Spoiler, I'll see myself out. Okay, a few more. Eben Hopwell. Those who have read the series know who that is. I heard that the original set for the Two Rivers was going to be in Pittsburgh, but the city refused to thatch every roof in the city. Plus, there was an extra river.
That's good.
That was too good.
Yeah, that was really funny. I like that a lot.
Snarky Spice said, I heard that they're making it a romantic comedy between Matt and Perrin vying for Rand's affection. Colin said, I'm down for this fan version.
Yeah, I'm down for it.
And Snarky responded and said, you know someone's going to cut and edit together the sequence when the TV shows out. And that's us. We totally are.
Yeah.
We're signing our editor, Matt, up. We're definitely going to make that spin on the show.
Matt's giving a thumbs up, guys. It's going to happen.
And last but not least, Loghain Melchior King posted, shooting was delayed 2 hours the first day because at Barney Harris, Matt released a real badger on the Village Green set. Instead of waiting for Dev. It was pretty good. Thanks, Twitter.
Thanks for playing with us, guys.
Yeah.
So jumping off from the set rumors, I thought it'd be fun to talk about Looney theories. So on Twitter or Time, there's been a thing called Looney Theory Thursday. I've seen some really great ones from fans, and we've gone ahead and written some of our own, and we'll also share some of the best from Twitter. Anyone want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first. So one of my own, I feel like we can all agree that we love maps. When we see maps in a book, in a new book, we see a map, we get really excited. So I've spent a lot of time, and I think we probably all have, poring over the Randland map. And two areas I was always curious about were, one was Haddon Merc, and the other one is inside of Eamon's Field. We've got the Waterwood and we've got the Mire, which are two places we never go, but we hear about them. So I always wondered, like, what's in those places? We never go to Haddon Merc either. We just hear about it.
Tiny houses.
And I feel like there are, like, people who could channel, like, and, like, weren't accepted, like, hid away in these areas. And they're, like, I mean, this is kind of getting to maybe later territory, but I feel like you could have, like, bog witches and, like, hedge mages and shit that
go
there, which would be fucking sweet. Yeah.
It's like crazy
Yeah,
people.
Crazy people like out in exile.
It's like a John Waters
Yeah,
because
it's like swampy, weird.
Swamp
like,
people?
Yes. I like it.
Yeah. Andrew, we have to go there in our RPG cafe.
Yeah, I like it.
We have to go.
Swamp
Yeah,
people.
So I like that a lot. I always wondered about
swamp
that.
Swamp witches.
And so another one I was kind of looking online and on Twitter. Let's see. The Queer Aja, which is at LGBTQ_WOT, basically posted they were looking for some hella gay headcanons to see what fans had brewing in their heads.
Mm-hmm.
And Brandon R. Posted, one of the ones he posted was that Pirin, Gaul, Aram, Fael, Bane, and Chiad were in a polyamorous squad with an inclusive swing for Roland. And I was like, I'm all about that.
Yeah.
I love that. That's great. That's a good one. Okay, I'm done.
Okay, cool. Andrew, what you got? You're up to bat.
I didn't look at spoilers.
Good.
So I just have my noob theories of what I think is going to happen.
Awesome.
That are based on not knowing what's going to happen. Here's what I think. Tom Merlin, I think he's a dark friend.
Ooh, okay. Tom Merlin's a dark friend. Someone also said they think Min is a dark friend.
Oh,
that was
yeah.
a theory that I saw.
Moraine, I think she's going to die.
Okay.
Rand's going to lose his shit.
He's going
to go crazy.
Yeah, he can't stop touching that taint.
Whoa!
Rand loves the taint.
He says he doesn't like it, but he likes it.
It's the only time he feels alive.
Yeah. Makes him feel good. That oily,
oily, slick taint.
That oily taint.
Do you have anyone?
Not really. No? I was trying to think this whole week while like on my bicycle, but I couldn't get the like Bella one out of my head. I was like, other than Bella, like, and then I was just trying to go down like.
It is a good one. For those who don't know, there is a popular theory online. Bella is the creator. The creator decided they wanted a first-person view of the events, so they decided to watch the last battle play out through the eyes of a horse.
Love it.
Love it. Is a good one.
It's a good one.
There was another one I liked. My crazy theory is that the very last line of the book series will be, "A bemused Rand shook his head, and through after all of this, everything I've been through, I still don't understand women as well as Matt and Perrin."
The other two.
Which I'm sure is true. Someone said the Dark One's prison is a papier-mâché pinata.
The seven seals of the papier-mâché pinata.
My favorite one was, "The Tinker Song doesn't exist. It was invented by one of the Forsaken."
Oh, shit. Oh,
damn.
It's brutal.
Oh, my God. That's so mean.
It's a good one.
So mean.
It's a good one.
Someone said
that's something Asmodean would do.
Yeah. As I said before, I theorize that the Dark One is extra thick. THICC. I propose as proof that the time dilation present near Shael Ghul is remarkably similar to what we'd expect of massive bodies like a black hole.
Whoa.
Like, okay. God. Dane Bornhold claims that Dane Bornhold is a Taverin's Taverin. He said he drew the Taverin to Barlon, and yeah, I'm not going to go into any spoilers after that. I liked Weekly Wheel News said Winter Night was an inside job.
Mm-hmm. Facts.
And the Green Man is really Elder Haman, who has let himself go. I mean, really let himself go. last but not least, Loony Theory Thursday. I maintain that the breaking was triggered by Luz Theron stepping on his kid's Legos in the night. Thus, Kinslayer was born.
Ooh.
So watch out, children. Yeah, don't leave your Legos out of night.
Legos.
I think
in an age.
His kids must have Legos.
Yes.
So for our next segment, we're going to revisit our predictions for the series and also look at what fans are saying online and some new articles. Dragonmount has been speculating on who might get an expanded role, character-wise, as well as people online speculating who might be cut from the show. So I actually thought maybe we'd start with the character discussion because it will definitely play into the bigger picture of how the storylines might be changing. We all read Dragonmount.com. They had an article about five expanded roles. The people that they listed were Loghain, Elida, Suan, Elias, and Jefferon Bornhold. The people rumored to be cut online are Tom, Min, and Elaine, because there have been no announcements yet. Mm-hmm. No one has said anything about Pat and Fain potentially being cut, but, I mean, it's totally possible. I think it would be weird.
Here's the weird thing about that for me. Without Pat and Fain, you don't really have
a story for two books.
Yeah, well, you don't really have a tangible, relatable villain. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, all you have is this kind of, like, evil
dream
entity.
Dream villain,
you know?
Yeah.
Which is, that's
darkness.
A little, yeah, it's a little too esoteric, I think, to ground it, like, for any sort of, like, real grounding for the show. I think that's the problem with that.
Well, good thing Michael Atten is going to be Pat and Fain, right?
Yeah. I think of all the characters you could cut, to me, Elaine is the least important in the beginning. She's in the first book, but I don't feel like that matters that much.
Yeah. I mean, know. Like, Andor's an important nation having a tie, but...
Right.
I kind of agree.
Yeah,
I could kind of do without Elaine.
I wouldn't be surprised if they did without Elaine.
In the first season?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that... I feel like there's really only one significant thing that happens in the Camelot thing that they need to keep.
Right.
Which is...
We can talk about it. She meets Rand.
Right.
I mean, that's like the crossing.
It's not even that, though.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's not even that because she can meet Rand later.
Right.
But I feel like it's Elida meeting Rand.
Right.
I think that's the part that needs to stay.
Everything that happens in Caemlyn is important. Like, we're talking about cutting Elaine, but we know that the show has to go to Caemlyn unless they're really changing things.
Right.
Because that is where Loghain is brought.
Right.
That's what's happening.
That's when
like
Rand
the first
is
time we see Loghain.
I did see something online that said potentially maybe they would bring Loghain to Tarvalin instead.
Oh,
why make the detour? Wait,
because I feel like if they went to Tarvalin instead of Caemlyn, it would be too much of a detour. Because like Moraine would not want to like get caught up in like going to the tower and like dealing with all this nonsense and like that. You know what I mean? Like she would want me in and out. She's like, we gotta go. We don't have time for this shit.
Oh, so you're saying Rand meeting Elaida has to happen?
I'm saying that has to happen.
That has to happen.
That's what I'm saying.
I agree.
He could not meet Elaine, but he needs to meet Elaida. Like she has to have that foretelling.
Yep.
Doesn't Loghain get gentled at Tarvalin? I thought that they were just taking him through Caemlyn on the way to Tarvalin to gentle him there.
I think they're just on the way.
I don't know. When I picture like men being gentled, it's like in the tower.
I think it's on the way because
they did it in front of Morghese.
They see him in front of, or the ladies see him in Tarvalin after he's gentled. And they see him and he's like all mopey and shit.
Yeah.
I think he's just being paraded. It's just on the route. From where is he coming from? Mirandy or Lugard or something?
Gildan.
Like he's shielded, caged, and then taken to the tower.
Yeah, I think she was Morghese just on the route. So they're like, well, let's parade him.
I wonder if Suon will be introduced as one of the people that there was. Maybe I read it on Dragomount that maybe she'll be introduced in episode 2 because she'll be part of like the party that's traveling with Loghain. So we could also potentially meet her in Caemlyn.
Interesting. I wonder, like, I guess since we're kind of at this point, like, I think we kind of talked about this, that they might have to do multiple like points of view in so much as like, okay, we see what's happening at Eamon's Field, but then we see what's happening with Loghain, and then we see what's happening
with like the White Cloaks.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah,
something like that.
And I like that.
So what could those three threads be, you know? I feel like Loghain is a strong contender for being a thread, to, like, just to get you invested in that character so you understand what the stakes are.
What episode is named The Dragon Reborn?
It's four.
Oh yeah, you're right. Place of Safety is three. That's right.
Like as far as settings in the first book that maybe will be in the first season, the ones I'm most excited about are Shadar Logoth, obviously, but also Caemlyn, because I think it's just a cool setting. You've got civil unrest. You've got White Cloaks wandering around. Like I think there's the potential for that to be a really tense, like cool way to bring people into the world.
Yeah.
And then you're bringing in this false dragon. You're seeing a bunch of Aes Sedai for the first time. Like, I hope that they do that because it was exciting to me as a reader.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. I think your theory of those three threads is really interesting.
Yeah.
Like a balance between Caemlyn, Tarvalin, and then the Eamon's Field Five, that traveling party.
Sure. But I wonder if when we're introduced to Eamon's Field, it'll be from Moraine's point of view.
Oh, interesting.
So that's kind of going back to the show description that the Wheel of Time follows Moraine.
Right.
I feel like they'll all have points. They'll all be point of view characters. Maybe we won't get as much screen time with all of them, but...
Yeah. I feel like they can easily do like, okay, this is Rand, like, picking apples and like, playing with his four sheep, you know? Like, this is Pyrrhon, like, hammering on some shit. This is Matt, like, doing God knows what, you know?
And then they come together. They can switch
milking
point of view so much more quickly than you can in a book.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
You don't want to lose the reader by bopping all around.
Right.
On screen, it's more natural. You're experiencing the world through multiple points of view. Going back to, I kind of want to stay in Caemlyn for a minute, because I think it is this, like...
pressure cooker.
Tinderbox? Yes, pressure cooker.
Yeah, it's a pressure cooker.
Yes. And going back to Loghain, I'm just curious how much they're going to show of him before episode 4, if they will or not.
Oh.
Or if we just see him. We talked about him being carried through the city. One thing that we didn't talk about was his gentling. Jason Denzel from Dragonmount said, "My hunch is that Rafe and his team showcase Loghain as a terrifying example of what happens when you're a man who channels Saadin. The first book hints at this, but I fully expect the show to try and horrify us and Rand so that we really understand what a terrible thing it is to channel as a man. I would not be surprised if we see him in chains, see him being beat up by the Red Aja, Elaida!" and probably gentled on screen violently.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really good prediction.
Yep.
Because it does a lot of work that they don't have time to kind of like build up to.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's quite solid. I wouldn't be surprised if they did that.
Yeah. And I wonder if Tom will be a player or not, because if they show the gentling, it will correlate with Tom's motivation to help yep. Rand, which is his nephew Owen was violently gentled by the Red Aja without ceremony, without, you know, the due process that they usually have where they take them back or whatever. And that's why he was so enraged. And that's why he wants to help Rand, because he reminds him of his nephew. He doesn't know Rand can channel, but
exactly.
just,
yeah,
these
just
young men getting mixed up with Aes Sedai, and he doesn't trust Aes Sedai. But we never get to see a man being gentled.
Right.
And we just hear what a horrible thing it is. So to see the Red Aja, also it kind of sets the Red Aja up as an enemy rather than just from word of mouth.
Yeah, it casts very specific and direct negative light on a particular sect of the Aes Sedai, which is, I think, a good thing.
I bet there's going to be a lot of fans of the Red Aja.
Yeah, like everyone who's a member of the Wing.
What? Oh, my God. Sorry. It took me a second. For those who don't know, the Wing is a women's only workspace, co-op workspace in Brooklyn, New York City.
They really man hate, though. Like, they do. Like, every time I see, I follow the Wing on Instagram, and every time I see them post, I'm like, that is some Red Aja shit right there.
Lauren's mom got her.
She did.
A membership.
Yeah, for 3 months.
Like, your mom's going to hear this.
Yeah, my mom thinks I'm a Red Aja.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah, Lady Workspace. Hashtag women only. Hashtag Red Aja.
Hashtag will gentle your ass. Okay.
Okay, awesome. So I feel like this brings us back to Elida, who obviously is of the Red Aja, and she is Morghese's advisor, which also means she's a mentor figure to Elaine, who may or may not be in the series.
I also love your fan casting of who you fan casted for Elida, which I know we didn't do in the fan casting, but...
No, we did.
About
she
it.
Did.
Yeah,
she had
about two. Yeah, they were good.
Yeah, I said Olivia Colman or Danai Gurira would be a good Elida.
So there's the part where, and this is, I think, the part that's pivotal that they have to keep when Rand meets Elida. Well, there's a part that says, the queen motioned to the captain general to stand aside. And when he did, she studied Rand with a troubled look. It was to Elida that she spoke, though. What are you naming him? Dark Friend? One of Loghain's followers? The Dark One stirs in Shael Ghul, the Aes Sedai replied. The shadow lies across the pattern, and the future is balanced on the point of a pin. This one is dangerous. Suddenly Elaine moved, throwing herself onto her knees before the throne. Mother, I beg you not to harm him. He would have left immediately had I not stopped him. He wanted to go. It was I who made him stay. I cannot believe he is a Dark Friend. Morghese made a soothing gesture toward her daughter, but her eyes remained on Rand. Is this a foretelling, Elida? Are you reading the pattern? You say it comes to you when you least expect it, and it goes as suddenly as it comes. If this is a foretelling, Elida, I command you to speak the truth clearly, without your usual habit of wrapping it in so much mystery that no one can tell if you've said yes or no. Speak. What do you see? This I foretell, Elida replied, and swear under the light that I can say no clearer. From this day, Andor marches toward pain and division. The shadow has yet to darken to its blackest, and I cannot see if the light will come after. Where the world has wept one tear, it will weep thousands. This I foretell. A pall of silence clung to the room, broken only by Morghese expelling her breath as if it were her last. Elida continued to stare into Rand's eyes. She spoke again, barely moving her lips, so softly that he could barely hear her less than an arm's length away. This too I foretell. Pain and division come to the whole world, and this man stands at the heart of it. I obey the queen, she whispered, and speak it clearly.
That last part, do you think just Rand hears that part, or does everyone hear her say that?
I think just Rand hears
just
it.
Just Rand hears it, right?
I think if he can barely hear it, and he's the closest person to her, I think the whole point is that he hears it.
Pretty epic foretelling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of big players that haven't been announced in casting yet, and Elida and also Gareth Bryan, who is also in that scene. Morghese, too. But I think it'd be interesting if Alida gets an expanded role because she is such a powerful sort of opponent. Mm-hmm. She's, you know, supposedly fighting for the light as an Aes Sedai, but she's a
She's a great villain.
But she, yeah, she's great. She's a villain because she's a tough broad.
Yeah, she's great.
For sure.
And I think kind of going back to the old point, they may have to do some finagling with her arc as well because of the gap, right?
Yeah.
From when she first appears and when she
reappears
in full force, you know?
I feel like as far as expanded roles go, Logan is a good choice. I like Swan, or however you pronounce her name, so I wouldn't mind seeing her in an expanded role. Like,
that's how you pronounce it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What were the other ones that they speculated?
Elias.
That would be great.
Oh, yeah. Elias would be like, I don't know, I say Elias, but I feel like he'd be like a great kind of one episode character. Just, I think, you know, because sometimes you just want to have an episode where like this cool different character shows up.
That's true, yeah.
He could show Perrin, you know, his whole thing and then disappear.
And Colin wants them to have a gay relationship, so that's going to...
Why not? Hey.
Colin's going to post some fanfic later.
Yes.
Matt's going to cut it together for us.
Yeah, but with Elias, I mean, he helps Perrin discover his talent or his ability to communicate with wolves. So, I mean, granted, that could happen without Elias, without a guide. Yeah.
Totally. It's
true. Could easily do that.
And I mean, like, then he would be almost on par with Rand, and so much as, like, figuring all the shit out himself, you know?
Yeah.
Do you think, I think he will still meet the Tinkers?
Yeah, sure.
I hope so. The Tinkers are such a fun character.
I think that's important. I think that's actually kind of important. Mm-hmm. They need to meet the Tinkers.
You know, as far as changes, what I'm really curious about is how they're going to just sex it up. And just I don't just mean just the sex, but also the violence, because I think the Amazon's probably going to go for, they want this to be Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
the next Game of Thrones.
Yeah, they want a niche.
I mean, after the sex scenes in Carnival Row, and I mean, and that was an Amazon. I mean, those were
it's an Amazon
sexy
show.
Sexy sex scenes.
Mm-hmm. And the Seder sex scenes were hot.
I didn't watch that stuff.
Like
when did you get those clips?
God, the Seder sex scenes.
Because I was watching.
Send us the clip.
So hot.
It was so hot.
I'm just interested how the Seder sex, I guess, is the thing.
No, but,
like, how are they going to take this world that you know, to me is pretty PG-13? There's some gory stuff in it.
Yeah.
But it seems like it's going to be, they're going to make it an adult world, which means not. That's actually a pretty drastic change.
It is.
So I'm really curious what that comes out like.
Well, I think that, like, it's a drastic change in so much as they're showing the scenes that Jordan didn't show. Because he kind of hints at all that stuff. He just doesn't show it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think this world is pretty dark. He's just not showing you behind the door.
Yeah, he's just not writing it in. Yeah. But we know it's there.
Exactly.
We just don't get to indulge in it. Yeah. So this is fleshing it out even further.
And that's fine. He's not like the Trolloc's brain oozed out of its cleaved skull.
Yeah.
Thrusting, penetrating.
Oh, wow. Well,
that'd be a different book. a different series.
That was Robert Jordan's lost novel. It comes out this week.
The 16th book.
Well, Dragonmount agrees, though. They said, don't be surprised to see characters getting busy on screen.
Yeah.
For sure.
Honestly, seeing the table read and seeing them together, I was thinking, oh, who can we ship from the cast? Because I don't know if you've ever read interviews with Gossip Girl actors like I have.
Nope.
But they basically said, oh, yeah, we all, like, slept with each other because we're, like, hot young people and we're on the cast. And I feel like a lot of actors do that. But I'm like, totally going to happen with this cast, too. They're probably by the end of how many seasons? Yeah.
I know. I personally have a friend who's really excited to see the Nynaeve land action happening.
So your friend and everyone else,
right, we're all waiting for that.
We just want to see Daniel Henney, like, take his shirt off
and, oh my god,
like, rinse off in the wind in the wine spring,
you know? Like, bring me that water.
Yes.
All of them, can you imagine, just like four men in the river with their shirts off.
Did you
that should be a calendar. January, Marcus Rutherford. February, Barney Harris.
Ooh, brother.
Ooh, Wolf brother.
But I'm excited for adult Wheel of Time. You know, because I'm a grown ass man, and I don't like to watch PG-13 shit.
I mean, you said you started when you were 15, yeah. and a lot of people did, and they're yeah. young, and now a lot of the fandom is older.
Mm-hmm. Everyone who started when they were 15
yeah.
in the 90s is definitely older now.
Yeah. So that, Colin, I can do math. Math. I just meant I don't know what portion of the Wheel of Time audience now is younger or is sure. teens. You know, I assume that it's smaller because there's so much other fantasy. I don't know. It's not as well known as yeah. some. It's known to us, but yeah. for younger generations, I don't know. But I think the show, being more adult, will also bring in probably people more in their 20s and yeah. 30s.
You know? I hope so. I mean, I think that that's the goal, right?
And then those people will pick up the books who exactly. haven't been a part of it, right, and that's right. really exciting.
And they're going to be like, where's the sex?
Yeah. They're going to be like Andrew masturbating 5 times a day trying to like fill in the scenes.
No, I don't have anything to do with
Jamie,
the Wheel of Time.
Before Game of Thrones was a show, did you read it? Or did you read it after it became a show? Or did you read it at all?
I had not read it before it became a show. And then, or maybe they actually think when it was coming out, Colin told me to get it. And I read the first one before yeah. the first season came out.
Yeah.
And then while the season was on, I finished the others, like all of them. And then I was out of books.
Mm-mm.
And then that was sad.
And then you read the Kingkiller Chronicles and you're still sad.
Fuck that. Yeah.
So the other thing that I'm interested to see, I think they kind of talk about this in this article, is it's to me, one of the things that I'm not that far in, one of the things as an adult reading this series that isn't really appealing to me. I know that like I'm the one who's critical all the time, but it's very much in the vein of Tolkien. In some aspects, at least the point I'm at, where it's like there's this dark force and there's this light force and they're opposed to each other. And that's a very black and white and kind of not that interesting
conflict.
Mm-hmm. So I hope that they add, as they adultify it or whatever, they add some more shades of moral gray, because that's, to me, what was so interesting about Game of Thrones.
Right. I think as you continue to read the books, you will yeah. see those gray areas and you will see how everyone, no matter how they align themselves, has their own motivations and their own reasons for doing things. I don't think that the idea of a light and a dark, a good and a bad is, I don't think Tolkien invented that. I don't think Robert Jordan obviously didn't invent it. I think that's a thing that's been around forever. And I don't think it's not a viable way to tell a story in terms yeah. of setting up a framework.
Well, it's very mythic, yeah. but to me, it's just not interesting conflict-wise. It's like, we're good guys, we're bad sure. guys, we're going to clash.
And I understand that, yeah. but yeah. I think even in, you're in book two now, you're almost done with book two, I feel like you should see some.
Yeah. I understand what you're getting at, Andrew. You don't want boilerplate conflict of good versus evil, where everyone either falls into a camp of, I fight for the light, or I fight for the dark side, and there's no moral ambiguity in between. I feel like Game of Thrones does that because there's not one hero or one villain. And, you know, some of the people you root for could be interpreted as villains. So you need room for that sort of nuance and complexity and the gray areas.
Like the White Cloaks being like alt-writers?
Oh, maybe. Yeah. But I think you said this earlier in an earlier episode, Colin, that the bad guys are very human. And they're more well-rounded. They're not. Some of them are pure evil, but a lot of them,
especially the Forsaken.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Forsaken are the most human. Yeah. They're just. They all have like a fatal flaw.
That's what makes them so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I do think that's what differentiates the Wheel of Time, and I don't think they necessarily have a lot of work to do to differentiate that from the classic fight between good and evil, because the story is so much more complex, and it's not your, you know, cut and dry fantasy epic.
Yeah, I'm starting to see that too, where I'm at in the books. You know, like Jefram Borenhald, he's like he's a villain, I think at least, but he does at least have like, in the part I'm at in the Great Hunt, he has some moral standards as far as like what's okay with him. Like he seems to have right. his own vision.
Jefram Borenhald's a solid man.
I think that's an interesting point that you just brought up, and I think it's counter to the point that you were discussing, in so much as Jefram Borenhald is kind of one of the introductory characters to that moral ambiguity.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is opposed to people that we are told are the good guys. Do you know what I mean? Like, right. So, but do you think he's a bad guy? Do you really? I'm curious as to what you think.
You know, but that's why I'm saying, like, he's kind of in this moral gray area. Like, he's a villain, but he thinks he's a good guy. I think he's a villain. He has certain moral standards that he doesn't want to cross, but he's not necessarily. But more, I guess I'm thinking about kind of the overarching conflict, which is this good force and this evil force.
Sure.
That are at, and people are going to fall on both sides of that, right? And maybe there's some that are more in the middle.
Yeah. But yeah. I do think that, you know, you guys are hitting on the same point that, say, in Lord of the Rings, there's like pure evil. There's an evil wizard and orcs, and then there's all the good people. Right. In Wheel of Time, there's regular men and women, and some who are more corrupted than others, and some that are not corrupted at all.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if I would say Jeff from Bornhold is a villain so much as he's a man that is odds with the person we consider as a hero.
I think he's a man, period.
Yeah.
And that's the point.
Right.
Is that he's human.
Yeah.
And humans do things. Humans do things that someone else are going to see as bad, but they themselves, no one walks around thinking, I'm an evil person.
Perrin killed two of his men.
Yeah.
In his mind, he just killed a wolf and captured a murderer. So, you know.
I mean, I don't know. Like, I think what was brilliant about Game of Thrones, other than being willing to kill off its main characters at any time, is that it had these characters that were, that you were sympathetically involved in, who were very flawed in doing human stuff, but also who were kind of opposed to each other within the conflict of the show. So you actually want, you like this character, you like this character. Necessarily, they're probably going to try to kill each other or something, you know, which I think that's interesting. So I hope that they do that with
you're not on like one side.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, like I like the good guys and these are all the good guys. Mm-hmm. So there's more kind of nuance and shades of gray there. Yeah.
Yeah. I did a like a daddy quiz, a daddy poll on Twitter of time. And I said, if you were sipping your ale in the common room and a young person named Min approached you, Min points to the man who just walked into the room and says that you are doomed to fall in love with him. You will soon discover that that man is named, and I gave the options of Tom Marilyn, Dane Bornhold, Tam Althor, and Pod and Fane. Pod and Fane got 13%.
Ew!
Who are you Pod and Fane people out
there? Who is Pod and Fane?
What?
And I'm sorry, child, Bornhold, but you also got 13%, so you and Pod and Fane are on the same level.
Damn. 13 is an unlucky number. It sounds like Dark Friends.
Yeah.
can we refer to Pod and Fane as Bad Daddy from now on?
Bad Daddy.
The Gleeman Daddy only got 21%, and Tam, Orchard the Daddy, 53%. The obvious Daddy, yeah.
Damn,
Tam.
Damn.
Tam. You did it. You did it, Tam. Any closing thoughts on our predictions?
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering about these Bad Daddy people. really wondering about them.
I feel like Jeff from Bornhold is probably Bad Granddaddy.
Oh.
All right, next segment.
White Cloak Daddy. In conclusion, I did ask Twitter of Time what level of bad it would be if Tom Marilyn was cut from the show, and 42% said Tarmin Gaiden level bad.
Word.
Wow.
Only 2% said good riddance. So probably the person who wanted to hook up with Pod and Fane.
Oh my God.
It was like, fuck
good riddance?
I never liked that guy.
So other than Morin and Lan, as a new reader, Tom was one of the first indicators that this, to me, that there's like this whole cool world outside, you know, because the human fielders are sort of boring. They're just townsfolk. Yeah, but like he's like a Gleeman. That's a cool thing. He's kind of like this bard-like thing. And that made me start to think like, oh, what are Gleeman like? What's the rest of this world like? Mm-hmm. So I think it would suck to cut him. I mean, for a lot of reasons. But
he's a very intriguing character.
Yeah.
He's like a man of mystery, you know, who wears this facade of being this really charming storyteller, but there's so much more history to him, and like a wink to everything he does. And even when he's tossing his knives about and showing that he's a little bit dangerous too.
I think I want to see him introduced as dangerous before I see him introduced as happy-go-lucky Gleeman.
I'm fine with him not being there from Aemon's Field.
Yeah.
It was convenient for a book story, but there's a lot of opportunities, especially if they're, you know, changing the path a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I actually kind of liked it the other way around, just for me, because he was like, oh, he's this entertainer, he's a singer, he's this charming guy. But then he pulls out these daggers, and then I thought about it, well, like, he travels around alone all the time in a pretty dangerous world. He got to be kind of a badass in some respects, right?
That's a good call,
It's like throwing daggers around. It's like, this guy's cool.
Yeah.
He's cool. He's a great character,
Multi-layered.
And he's got multiple mustaches.
He's like a sexy Burt Reynolds from back in the...
At Burt Reynolds, extra Burt Reynolds.
No, I used to watch the show Friends, and Monica goes on a date with Burt Reynolds, and everyone's like, oh man, he's so hot.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
What a man. That's what a man was in the 90s.
Yes.
You'd have multiple mustaches.
Yeah.
Multiple.
He needs two. He's got a few. He's got a couple mustaches.
So, as I mentioned earlier, it's our 2-month anniversary, and this is our 10th piece of content that we're putting out, which is pretty crazy.
It's true.
We've met up 10 times?
No.
Okay, I was going to say,
take it back, Lauren! Take it back!
That doesn't seem possible.
Lauren apparently blacked out during some of our sessions.
Heavy drinker!
Yeah, it's flown by. I can't believe how much we've done in 2 months. And it's been kind of crazy. I think none of us were involved in the community at all before this. I wasn't even on Twitter before this. Colin made me join and kind of discover this whole new world. So I did want to say thanks to our fans and thanks to everyone for welcoming us into this awesome community.
Yeah, it's been really, 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 really fun.
It's true. It's been very fun. Thank you.
And
guys,
I
so
love
much.
This community so much.
Thanks for listening. Also, don't play this for your kids.
Is there anything you guys want to talk about that's been like your favorite part of it, or is there any subject that we talked about that was kind of you were excited about?
I think my favorite part, I am a bartender and I share a lot of my personal life at the bar to keep customers coming back, and this is something that keeps customers coming back. They're like, what's going on with your podcast? Like, oh, listen to your podcast. I have some things to say about it. And I just really love the added level of like interest in my patrons have taken in me, and now thus the Wheel of Time. Because now I feel like I could start a Wheel of Time book club with my patrons, because they're like, I'm on chapter 7. This is happening. And I'm like, thanks for keeping me updated on a book I already read. But I'm super happy you're into it.
We are kind of like the Church of Wheel of Time, because when you have a podcast and you recommend something to people, they listen.
Yeah.
If I was just like, I like this book, you should read it, they're like, oh, okay. And I'm like, I have a podcast
about
it.
A book.
I'm going to read that book. It must be good.
Yeah.
I have to say, I have gotten at least 5 people in my life to read The Wheel of Time.
Yeah.
You've gotten, I mean, like, everyone, but like me, like Angela, Jamie, like, I guess you started reading it before you
read
it, Colin.
Yeah.
But this is kind of, you're very much like the catalyst for almost this podcast, kind of, because you introduced The Wheel of Time to Jamie.
I feel like that's how books travel, right? Like,
word of mouth
kind of like passed along, which is very exciting. So yeah, I enjoy being able to discuss it to you and kind of rekindling that relationship with even people I've met since the last time I read the books, and being like, oh, I started this podcast, and finding out that they knew about the books or they'd read them before. Mm-hmm. Like, so that's always exciting too.
Yeah.
To find that you already have friends who read it, but you didn't know that they read it.
Yeah. I hope one day someone comes into the bar and they're like, oh my God, you're the voice from the podcast. And I'll be like, yeah, that's me.
Pretty recognizable, Lauren. And they're like, can I see your massive hands?
Oh, I wanted to mention this earlier, but when we were talking about the Robert Jordan eulogy, like Brandon Sanderson's eulogy, I was very moved by reading The Wheel of Time as well, especially as a writer. And that's the reason I got my Wheel of Time tattoo, which for people at home is kind of like the compass rose from the main map of Randland, the wheel and the snake and the spear and the banner. It reminds me of this vast world that he created and just how intricate and how much time he put into it, how much care. It reminds me to put that much care into my work when I do it, you know?
That's awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we finally need to get a picture of your tattoo.
Yeah.
And share it with the community. We'll do that tonight. That's awesome. I never knew that about your tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
Someday we'll have a podcast about your writing, Colin.
This is, I'm
going
to plug that writing right now, guys, if you want to. I'm just kidding.
I think, you know, for me, my favorite thing has definitely been the nudes in my DMs.
Has it really increased?
Yeah, because it comes
from
to me.
Zero to zero.
Yeah, from zero to zero to point zero.
Yeah, from nothing to
still,
to potential.
Still nothing.
So I have two announcements. One is that everyone here except for myself is single.
Oh, yeah.
No.
And so look for us at JordanCon. 2020.
We'll be congregating together in the corner.
Hit me up at JordanCon. What?
Looking for a bad daddy. We got one for you right here.
The second announcement is that we are moving to a monthly schedule. So our tapings will take place the first Friday of the month, right after Wheel of Time Wednesday, and the episode will be published soon thereafter. We've been putting out a lot of content, and I think one takeaway has been, you know, to really do, like, really give you guys great quality and do enough research and, like, social listening. We need the time to prepare, and then also we put a lot of love into our editing, including the role-playing game, and all the sound effects and awesome stuff you hear is thanks to our editor, Matt. And so we want to make sure every episode we're putting out is something that we love, and also get it to you in a timely manner right after those important announcements. So look out for us once a month. We'll be publishing the full episode and then the RPG separately.
Thank you for listening. Today's episode was brought to you by Trolloc Man Instant Meals. Pounds of tasty farmer flesh delivered straight to your campfire. Trolloc Man, what's in your cook pot?
So darn! What'd you have for dinner?
Pound of those butt cheeks, mashed legs, corn, and baby pudding. You?
Chicken salad with a squeeze of lemon. And some... Ha-ha!
Shoulda had Trolloc Man. A whole pound of scrumptious human flesh. Trolloc Man. What's in your cook pot?
wheel of time to change my life. Must I change my life? Constance of wheel of time. But it's the wheel of time. I change my life. I change my life. I change my life. I change my life. I change my life.